trigger warning. This is the Freedom Beam, broadcasting from Podbay 2A, a mile above sea level at Intergalactic Prairie Studios. We alter your locus coeruleus by warming your synapses with rejuvenative radio waves. Put on your 3D glasses now. We warm your brain to a tasty and toasty 365 degrees Fahrenheit. Keep a sin flood of statism out of your head. Can you feel it? Can you feel it, Hugo Gonzalez?
I can feel it. I can feel it just right from Mexico City. And even though we're hundreds of miles away, I can feel it.
Yeah, connected over Fiend Phone, which happens to be invented or programmed by Derek Slopey, who is also with us. Derek, can you feel it?
I'm feeling it.
All right.
Feels good.
Great. And we have gathered here for a very special program with Lynn Albrecht, Supermom, mother of Ross Albrecht, the man accused of being a website operator, currently captive by the feds. And we're here to talk about, we're going to start out by talking about a really interesting project that when I just saw this, I thought, oh, this is so cool. It's a fundraising project for freeross.org. And it's what makes it really neat is it is a art project, I guess, and it's been wildly successful. It was unveiled at Liberty Forum, I believe, last week. And it's you can go to freeross.org and you click on this, and there's a picture, and it's covered by pixels, and you can purchase pixels to reveal this image behind it. And the image behind is original artwork by Ross Albrecht. And I understand it is titled The Trial I Saw or something of that nature. So anyway.
That's great.
Yeah. So anyway, Lynn, can you tell us more about this? I just think it's awesome.
Yeah. Well, it shows how creative Ross is with ideas and also with his art. As more of it's revealed, you'll see what an amazing picture this is, especially since it was done in prison. And there's not a whole lot of materials available in prison to do art. He kind of scavenged some pencil and eraser and, you know, typing paper, basically. But he was inspired by a dream. We were always needing money. And the appeal is, well, the trial is crushingly expensive. The appeal is coming pretty close. And so we had talked a lot about fundraising. And then he had this dream and told us about it. And so he inspired this. And so Derek stepped up because, of course, we would have no idea how to implement this technically and has been fantastic help and supporter and put tons of hours into this. It's so cool. And and my sister Kim worked on it. My husband Kirk and I, we all kind of put ideas together. And it's really been amazing to see the progress because it started out with kind of graffiti. With different things like, Free Ross, Bitcoin. People would spell those out. I guess I should explain what it is. It's a piece of art that's opaque. I mean, it's underneath just an opaque square, and it's on a grid. And as people click on squares of the grid, a little bit of that art is revealed. And it's a dollar a square. So at Liberty Forum, people just really got behind it and were, you know, spelling out Hero and Free Ross and Bitcoin and Lynn
Fiends.
And
somebody
Fiends.
Spelled Fiends.
That's right,
yeah,
Fiends. And
it really
I wonder who that might have
night.
Been.
The original intention was to, Lynn, you were going to announce it on Saturday, right?
That's right, with my speech.
But we ended up on Free Talk Live Thursday night, and there were squares bought as soon as we started talking about it before from the audience or from people that heard us even before we announced it on the show. I mean, it's really, really gone crazy.
Yeah,
how is it doing so far? It's I mean, it looked like it was about half filled when I looked at it. There's still plenty of room, but there's a lot of
pixels.
There's
a lot more in that picture than
but you can start to see what the picture is now.
You can start to see some faces.
I was intrigued. Once you start seeing what's underneath it, it's like you really want to start peeling away these pixels. So
yeah, right.
It's a really creative idea. So Ross had this idea. And now, how did you get Derek involved, or how did Derek know that he needed to do some inventing here?
Well, Rich Grove of Tragedy and Hope recommended I contact Derek, and Derek had already helped us with Drew to Twitter tweet every time we get a donation just right. automatically.
We have the P-Spot. If you're a follower of Free Ross, you'll see that every time somebody donates to the Free Ross public Bitcoin donation address, a tweet goes out saying, you know, somebody donated so many millibits to help Free Ross's appeal, and that's the P-Spot. It's at BitLicense LLC that kind of runs that thing, and we do it for anti-war, we do it for Shire sharing, and just a bunch of organizations, and I think awesome. It was Roger Ver that put us in touch on that, right, Lynn?
Yeah, I think it was Roger. Yeah, so that's the first time I'd heard your name, and then we got to meet at Pork Fest, and that was really actually I believe it was at Jim's campfire, and it was, yes. And just got to, it just makes such a difference to get to know people in person, you know. And then, but I really didn't know you that well or what you did. And then Rich Grove, who's been a huge friend as well, said, oh, you should call Derek Slopey. I said, I know him. So, and Derek was so willing, and it just been just sort of, yeah, it's been a real synchronicity of a lot of things.
Yeah. Well, and Derek is the favorite inventor of the fiends. I mean, he is sort of our resident mad scientist. We're very appreciative of Derek and his talents.
Absolutely.
I mean, we've got, there's plenty of libertarians out there with podcasts or radio shows or blogs or, you know, getting arrested, filming police, but not that many are just building stuff, like build more stuff.
All those people are so much more organized than I am. I mean, I look at you guys doing this show, you know, on a regular schedule, you know, what's nice about what I'm doing is I can do whatever I want. So, dude, it's really been great to work with with the Fiends and with Lynn. I mean, working with Lynn and Kim and on this project has just been incredible. I mean, they really knew what they wanted and made it really easy for me to complete it.
Cool. I'm glad to hear that, Derek, because I was like, oh, God, he's going to see an email from me and go, oh, no, this woman is driving me crazy. But you were so patient and so you are so great to work with. You really are. I've said it many times. Like, God, Derek is so great to work with. Why isn't everyone like Derek? As far as, you know, just being so willing and so smart and, you know, really.
Yeah, it's really been an honor to be able to have something that I can do and to do it. So.
Yeah, no, it's awesome. So, yeah, it's been a great, and it's so exciting that it's gotten such a great response. And I think talking about it at Liberty Forum, just kind of launching it right there spontaneously, because you were right there in the room and we just called you up to the mic and I tried to explain it and then you really explained it. And
that was kind of scary for me. But it was.
Hey, we should mention another key feature of this that I think is also amazing is the fact that Tim Fry, another, you know, great friend of the Fiends and just, you know, super, super guy all around. He said, you know what? Hey, this would be, you know, it'd be fun. What if we had grams of gold hidden in this grid? So he offered 21 grams of gold hidden behind certain squares. So every time you pick one, you have a chance of winning a gram of gold that he donated. Yeah. But we don't find out who wins until they're all taken off. So we got to get every square off of there so people can collect their gold.
Right.
I don't know if anyone has landed on a square with gold yet.
I don't think we'll know until the end.
I think there's 21 there.
I don't think Tim even knows. I believe Tim had his attorney pick the numbers, so I don't think anybody knows.
Oh, yeah, it was a neutral party. Yeah. That's right.
Yeah.
Okay. Mm-hmm.
So the person who does gets an email, I believe, is how he's working it, but
Yeah. Hopefully it's not me, because no one will believe it was fair. Because
I'll believe it.
Yeah, he really did just hop right on this as soon as he heard about it. And he's done that for so many organizations like
Andy Wolf. Oh, he's great. Yeah. He said he was just really intrigued with the concept and the idea. And just, you know, it's been great. Yeah, it really added an element of excitement and treasure hunt to the whole thing.
Yeah, yeah.
Well, it gave me more ideas for the next one, too. I was thinking, you know what? What if everybody, you know, like whatever business you're in, like I could donate, you know, I do printing in my business, you know, like, hey, I could say, hey, here's some printing.
Yeah, that's true.
You know, or somebody could, you know, hide
like
some
silent auction or something.
Or, you know, just load it full of all kinds of weird goodies. You know,
that's such a great idea. We do have another drawing waiting in the wings, too. Yeah.
Somebody that heard about this said, oh, kind of like, what is it? Minesweeper. Minesweeper on Windows. Somebody suggested that it was like that. And I said, oh, no, you don't find out until afterwards. But it would be neat, you know, if there was a sufficient number of of prizes. Now, a gram of gold is a pretty good sized prize, and you really want to keep that that motivation there and not release it till the end. But if there were some small prizes where, you know, that if we could get it coded in for the next one where you click on it and it just kind of flashes and said, you won. You know, we didn't have time to do this on that, but I think that that's something that we could do.
And plus it'll give people, you know, bigger, more chances to get involved. You know, and this one, what's the total number of squares on that?
9,350.
Okay. Yeah. We're going to need more than that. We're definitely going to need more than that.
Yeah. It wouldn't take, they wouldn't be much smaller to increase quite a bit. So, you know, if you made them just a little bit smaller, you could double the number of squares.
Yeah, or make them $2 a square. Who knows? Those are just details. The concept
you know, it's nice to have that accessibility, though. If it was $2 a square, people wouldn't be able to dispel Lynn.
Right.
Or Fiends.
Yeah, and that does make it really fun, being able to write out messages. Was that an intended concept, something you knew would happen? Or
that was spontaneous. And the thing is, it's kind of like art on art. It's like there was this all his art, and then it's on top of his art, and it's kind of creating this separate art piece in itself. It's completely spontaneous. Yeah,
somebody started by drawing a T,
right?
And then some mad bitcoins, I'll say, because he tweeted about it, said, "Help me spell bit," and he wrote B and I in front of the T, and then it just kind of developed from there.
Yeah, it's really neat.
So the thing that has inspired is that we're going to make a video of the progression of this thing. I've already saved the frames up until now, and I've sent them over to Drew, and he's going to do some video processing on it. So at the end, we're going to have a video where you see how the picture was revealed.
Nice. Which is,
that's so neat, because I was thinking about that, and I think somebody had asked, like, well, what's being done to sort of preserve sort of all these messages and things that are coming in through there? So
that's a perfect solution. We'll have every frame of change, and we'll be able to replay that. And I was kind of concerned about that a few days ago when I put out a tweet that said this, although nobody really follows me, so who knows who saw it. But I said, don't be afraid to overwrite the graffiti, because there will be a video. Because everybody's avoiding, you know, wrecking what somebody had paid, you know.
All right. That's great.
To the market. We're going to take a trip to the market, and we'll be back.
You and the hamster in your brain are listening to Freedom Fiends with Michael Dean and his weird friends. My fellow sheep, election season is upon us. Are you one of the 12% of Americans who still approves of our government? Then we need your help to force the other 88% into compliance. Our democracy depends on it. We're an organization called Citizens Against Too Much Unfettered Freedom, or CATMUF. CATMUF is a bipartisan flock of sheep whose goal is expanding government until nothing else remains, because the government is here to help you. How can you help CATMUF help you? By only voting for candidates dedicated to expanding government. It's easy. You don't need to study the issues. No matter what a politician says when running for office, they're all dedicated to expanding government. And make sure you tell all your friends and family to vote for more government. Here at CATMUF, we don't care if you vote Democrat or Republican, as long as you vote for candidates committed to growing our federal family. CATMUF, because folks just aren't smart enough to handle real freedom.
Freedom Fiends! We're coming back from the market with Derek and Jim Babb. And our special guest, Lynn Ulbricht. So, everybody, we were talking about how to win grams of gold and support Ross's cause by doing art. And, I think if you haven't had a chance yet, you who are listening on the radio, you should go ahead and give it a try at freeross.org. You can go there, go to that website, and then starting there, go look for the art, and then you can... you can unveil what's behind the yellow curtain.
Yeah, it's so cool.
It is.
Yeah, just a button at the top, very top of our homepage, and you just click that and you'll go right to the project. You know, real quick, I just want to interject that because you mentioned Roger Ver, and he's just been such a fantastic supporter and freedom fighter and, you know, connected me with Derek and other people and had that amazing retweet campaign that really got us started and helped us really be able to have the, you know, pay for a bunch of the trial. And he's so creative, and I kind of had a little email exchange about this, and he thought it was great. And he, says somebody, actually several people are writing articles about it, but, you know, he mentioned that. And so I really want to just thank Roger too, because I don't know, he's just such an amazing person and has been so helpful.
It's a shame, it's a shame that we've all come together under these circumstances, right?
Yeah.
Because under other circumstances, you know, we could really just celebrate all of these awesome people that come together for a crisis like this. And, you know, it is a crisis situation we're in right now. This is a scary, scary situation. We got to get Ross out of there.
Yeah.
And, you know, and I promised we're not going to talk about jailbreaks, because that could get you in trouble, Lynn. And no, that's off the table. That's not what we're talking about here. But right now,
talking about legal action.
Yeah, exactly.
Appeal.
Is right now, it's our best chance of getting him out of there. And it's
an excellent appeal.
Yeah.
Let me just say that when I'm. Yeah, but let me just quickly say, I just have this fantasy that Ross will get to meet all of you too. You know, he's the one that should be talking to you. You know, and he will. And but right now he's pretty miserable, and because he was moved and he has none of his stuff, and he doesn't, you know, he had friends and he had different people, and he would kind of. He'd been there a year, and so he's been moved, and he's been sick, and it's just like all this excitement's happening. And one of the great things about preserving this progress is that I can print this and send it to him so he can actually experience it, you know, and see what happened with his inspiration. So that's
Lynn,
good.
Just to ask a little bit about Ross's conditions, it's not impossible for somebody that's in his situation to get internet access and things like that, right? Or is
right,
that a different type of prison?
Well, no, it's, some guys do, but the Bureau of Prison has a law rule that if you have convicted for an internet crime, you cannot get email or any internet. And the thing is such a joke because they completely monitor all the emails. I mean, it's not like he's going to hack into the prison system and fly away. You know, so it doesn't even make any sense. But a lot of things doesn't make any sense with them.
So they consider this internet crime. Now, I remember Kevin Mitnick was a renowned hacker that did a lot of prison time. Back in the, I guess he got out in the 90s anyway, and he wasn't allowed to use a computer for quite a long time. Now he's a security consultant. But, but I can see why they would consider that a computer crime, because he was using computers to break into places. But they're considering this a computer crime just because
he used a computer.
Was Ross's ability, right?
Because he had a computer.
And it's a website.
What business
doesn't
run on a computer? So, I mean, come on.
Right. Yeah. Right.
Well, they typically do expand their umbrella of criminal activity, so soon we're all going to be under it. That's what they do.
It expands.
You know, Preparara even said that. He said our laws are expansive and adaptable, so they can just keep expanding them and adapting to them. And he said, especially when it comes to the internet. People need to listen to what this man says.
I know. Sometimes they blurt out the truth.
They're really afraid of technology. Right, because a graffiti artist gets charged with felonious graffiti and gets sent to prison. They don't not allow him to have paints, I don't think.
Right,
actually, they might.
They might. Okay.
Well, you know, I said in my talk last week that Ross is in here, in jail, in prison, because of political reasons. I'm sure of it. Because
of course
they don't put drug dealers away for life. They've proven that over and over again. And
what was the example you just gave, Lynn, at Liberty Forum of one of the drug kingpins?
Pablo Escobar. Escobar got 60 years. The guy was supposedly responsible for assassinations and homicides and drugs.
Let's go to the market and talk more about those real drug kingpins and what the state does to them.
Freedom Fiends with Michael Dean. This is what radio sounds like now.
Hey, this is Nathan Explosion from Death Clock, and you're listening to Freedom Fiends on the radio. Worms.
Fiends.
Freedom Fiends.
Freedom Fiends. Meow. We have not meowed before on this episode, and we're talking about, well, you know, actual criminals who did heinous crimes and killing people and doing all sort of things. And you know, those people, the state that did not punish as harshly as it's trying to punish Ross Ulbricht there. And you were talking, Lynn, before about Pablo Escobar. And we have, in Mexico, we have our very own El Chapo, which just right. got into jail. And those people are, those are actual criminals, not because of the drug trafficking, but because of the murders and mm-hmm. all the actual crimes they've committed, and they've been more lenient with those. You were
possibly thousands of murders for some of these people, right?
Yeah. I mean,
we're talking
right.
like
Escobar,
this is
3,
yeah, these are not
estimated.
Like these are not like your friendly, you know, corner weed dealer. You know?
Right? Actual kingpins, not just website administrators.
Right, probably the kind of people that they were imagining when they put together these ridiculous, you know, laws in place for kingpins. So the fact that Ross Ulbricht got a double life sentence plus like 40 years, is that
yeah.
correct?
Yes.
What, like this guy, what, you know, a guy that made a free market website is considered the worst threat they can possibly imagine. Oh, these other guys, yeah, they just murder and steal and that's right. not, that doesn't threaten the power base, right? But it just makes me sick, the level of cruelty and barbarity. I don't think anybody yeah. expected that. I certainly
no.
didn't.
No, it was shocking. And that's why people who, you know, it's been clouded and sensationalized with this phony murder for hire smear, and which I've heard from other people has happened to them. And it's been, and all the drugs and sensationalism, which the media loves to go over. But the thing is, it's like people who care about liberty, this Ross, he's one of us. He's one of you. He needs our help. You know, I'm not saying everything was right. I'm not defending Silk Road. I'm not, certainly not defending drugs, but he's not a threat to anyone. You know, you might not want to, you know, get in an elevator with Pablo Escobar. I don't know. But Ross, you know, is a very peaceful, you'd all love him. He's great, you know, and he's totally sweet and kind, and you know, he's not a threat to anyone.
Yeah. And the sad thing about it for me is that Ross could have been anybody. You know, I'm sure you've seen the IMDPR campaigns.
Right.
He was a brilliant, he was a smart kid. He was, you know, intuitive. Mm-hmm. He saw an idea and he hopped on it, just like so many people that I know would have. You know, and mm-hmm.
he was really good at it.
He was really good. Really he had good. The ethics behind it, and you know, I don't know, you know,
Well, we don't know how much of it DPR was Ross. I mean, there's a lot of question. There was more than one, but he did create it.
Yeah,
and
yeah,
it was his idea. It's kind of like, you can see how creative it is with this art project. It's like, you know, but I think a key word there is kid. He was 26, and no one died. At least, you know, by his right. direct hand.
Of course not.
No, probably,
you know?
Probably and, somebody got saved because of whatever, you know, whatever right. transactions were happening there. They weren't happening in a dark alley, and they weren't happening with a right. Tainted product that would be able to kill somebody. So right. I will even, people could say somebody could have died, yeah, but I'm pretty sure that at least that one person was saved or right. Was not put in risk at the... Well, you know, mm-hmm. resulting from...
Right. Well, the drug war kills people. That
yeah.
is a fact.
Yes,
it kills a lot of people. And the fact that people are doing their drug buys in back alleys and through disreputable sources, and where they don't have a rating system, they can't trust their vendors, people die. So anything that fights the drug war, you know, yeah. by definition is going to be saving lives. Circumventing... Their tyranny by creating a free market website that's accessible despite their wishes. That was a serious threat to their authority, and they right. have certainly and responded accordingly.
And it's
well, so
going
is
to
Tor,
continue.
And so is Bitcoin.
Right, right. You These know. Things are going to continue to be problems for the state. The state is just grasping at this, you know, trying to slow it down or stop it. But this is inevitable stuff. I mean, you know, a person can be really optimistic about these decentralized technologies. I mean, in the future, there will be decentralized currencies. There will be decentralized marketplaces. There's no stopping it. I mean, the technology is there. I mean, humanity is going to march on.
Yeah, for saying that Ross, this sentence would be a deterrent is absurd. There were several sprouted up right after the sentence. I mean, you know, it's ridiculous. The other big question here, I feel like, is transferred intent. Are website hosts responsible for what vendors and customers do on their site? And it opens up a whole big, and then, yeah, it's referenced Amazon because a mother is suing Amazon because her daughter bought cyanide on Amazon and killed herself. And Amazon knew it was on there. You know, they've now taken it off, but it was on there until 2013. So is Jeff Bezos responsible? I mean, that's the question. I don't think so, but, you know, that's what they're saying in this case.
Yeah, and if Bezos was negligent, then, you know, we have civil procedures to recover any damages that he was responsible for, right? But you'd only a madman would say Jeff Bezos, well, murderer. Yeah, somebody bought something harmful on his website and used it inappropriately, and therefore, let's give him multiple life sentences, right?
And I noticed the vendors weren't even mentioned in, you know, as far as Ross was concerned. It was all him. You know, it's like, well, there were vendors on there that were, they weren't cited.
Mm-hmm. You had one slide in your talk, Lynn, that showed some of the sentences that some of the other Silk Road affiliated people got. It was shocking. You know, people that were actually doing the selling of drugs that were caught and convicted for selling hard, you know, what they consider to be hard drugs.
Oh, yeah.
17 months. 17 months was one
actually,
of them,
actually, right? He was an admin. Was an admin, but Peter Nash. But no, the biggest drug dealer on Silk Road got 10 years. The biggest cocaine and heroin dealer on Silk Road and in the dark web, supposedly.
The biggest.
5 years. 5 years. Yeah. And they sold drugs. They sold mountains of drugs. And Peter Nash was an admin, a high-level admin, during the highest volume of sales in Silk Road. And he got time served 17 months. And I'm glad he did, you know, but...
I just have to assume that, I mean, that there was a couple agents that were taken down and...
Yeah, they got 6 and 7 years. 6 years and 7 years.
Mm-hmm. You're talking about Carl Force, right?
A person would have to guess that they got into that position by using the marketplace and getting in touch with the community, probably by doing illegal things. And, of course, they were never, you know, tried for that.
No, Force had all kinds of aliases. He had several aliases on Silk Road. He was doing all kinds of stuff. And we don't even know how much.
And Sean Bridges, was he the other corrupt investigator?
He's a expert, a crypto technological cyber whatever expert. That's why he was hired. He was hired to.
And these guys basically got themselves the keys to the cookie jar just gorged themselves on Bitcoin. Is that a fair description?
Well, over $1 million. But they also, what I think is the most important part, is that they had ability to do anything on the site, to change things, to all that. It wasn't just, you know, they stole, which, they, you know, right.
They have administrator privileges.
They have the ability to tamper all the evidence they probably wanted to.
So here's an interesting observation
that
I'm
exactly
making.
Hugo, that's right. And they had the motive because it distracted from what they were up to.
Yeah, they had to cover the tracks. So if there's that conflict of interest, how would you possibly believe the rest of the so-called evidence that they were presenting?
Right. And the other thing about it is the murder for hire charges. Carl Force was very involved in all of that. And I'd like to know, since he could write anything and change anything, how we know he didn't write that whole dialogue. I mean, to me, it sounds like he did. The one person did. But it's like he had total ability to do that and take on two roles.
Right.
Was the journal and stuff on the laptop actually used as evidence in the trial?
Yes. Yeah. And that's the other thing is I mentioned is there's this cyber expert I talked to who said he's sure they violated protocol so much. And he said the only reason they would do that is if they planted something on the laptop. And he went into a whole explanation. Now, I don't know, but it happens all the time. He said, basic. It's very easy.
I want to read a quote from a recent article in The Guardian, okay? Because people might say, oh, you know, you freedom fiends and, you know, you're Ross's mom. And, you know, you say it's corrupt, but what do we really know? Well, The Guardian, that's the language they used in this article. It says, the web of corruption surrounding the Silk Road investigation was nothing short of breathtaking.
Wow.
Okay. That's, you know, this is a mainstream, this is mainstream media. Okay. Like even mainstream media, you know, international media recognizes that this whole investigation was riddled with theft, fraud, and deceit from day one. And if that alone isn't enough for any reasonable person to say, yeah, you know what, maybe the guy should get another trial.
Yeah.
Right? Maybe. Least. Really?
Because jury wasn't allowed to hear this. They didn't know this.
Right. They
no
were
one
forbidden
did.
To know this. So
that's right.
And now, if I recall correctly, this information about these, they were under indictment. The feds pretty much figured out they had some rogue agents stealing the Bitcoin that the FBI was supposed to steal. Right? Right? Can't have that. No, we're going to steal that. You can't steal that. So they're under. So anyway, these like the lead investigators, the people that brought up all the bogus murder for hire charges, they were going on trial, and all of this was blocked from the defense. And if I understand correctly, even the defense attorney knew this but had to promise not to say it. Is that right?
Oh yeah. I mean, there was a hearing before trial in December. The trial was in January. Ross was there, and defense, prosecution, judge, and I knew something had happened, but I was not allowed to know this because I didn't have attorney-client privilege and all that. It was sealed. And Ross's lawyer fought hard to, and he was very upset that the judge upheld the prosecutor saying, well, we can't have this known to the jury because it'll be public and it'll interfere with our investigation. And then it turned out later they had already knew they were under investigation. They had been interviewed by law enforcement. It wouldn't have jeopardized their investigation, but that's the excuse they used. And Joshua Dreitel called me on Christmas morning. I'll never forget this. You know, and he goes, he was really upset, and he just said, you know, they're not letting us use some really important evidence. And at that moment, I'm like, man, I don't know. This is, you know, really bad. And
what would have happened if he had just called the New York Times with that bit of info immediately? Like,
well, it was sealed by the court. It was sealed by the court. I don't know. I'm sure it would have. Yeah,
he would get disbarred, but
yeah, sure, that's for sure.
In violation of his agreement with the state, I think.
You can't cross them. They can cross you.
Yeah. Hey, it's an agreement made under duress.
Well, at least it came out, and it's in the appeal. It's a major part of the appeal.
Okay.
You're listening to The Freedom Fiends, an invigorating alternative to those other shows.
Are you tired of your taxes funding endless occupations around the world? Antiwar.com is run by people who understand that wars abroad become wars at home, wars on our freedoms. Antiwar.com is dedicated to bringing you the latest in news, views, interviews, and reviews from the top movers and shakers in the anti-occupation movement. Antiwar.com has it all, from thorough foreign policy analysis to interviews with whistleblowers who used to run the military-industrial complex. Anti-war, pro-free market. That's antiwar.com.
Meow, meow, meow. Can you guys meow for me?
Meow.
Oh, meow. Oh, that's cool.
No.
And, well, we try worms. To keep our hopes up and our, you know, we try to be cheerful. Which is the attitude that every liberty person should have. And I have a question. I remember at some point in the trial. So this whole murder for hire case or speculation, it's actually never become a case. And
but it was never charged.
Yeah, it wasn't charged.
It's coming up though. Man, it's like, how many times do we have to get rid of this? You know, but somebody asked me just today on my Facebook. They're like, well, what about that murder for hire? I'm like, oh.
They've got so much mileage out of that.
I think that was a smart move by the state.
Yeah.
Evil and very smart. I think the whole deal
was when you have the
cunning.
Media.
I would say cunning.
Yeah. Cunning is a better word for that. It's, in my opinion, the impression that I got is that they were trying to dog whistle libertarians into, you know, this guy is not a good guy. He's not a libertarian. Yeah. He initiates the use of force. And that was really, really cunning. And was trying to distract, you know, to divert attention from the actual real matters at hand into mm-hmm. some, you know, some made up claim that actually I was really surprised. They were, well, not really surprised, but I was shocked that they would bring it up and they wouldn't bring up the other real problems with the investigators and the agents there. Well, was really dirty.
They were painting a very specific narrative for that jury, and the murder for hire, they talked about ad nauseum at the trial, although they never charged him with it. And I'm like, this is wrong. If you don't,
and no one was murdered. Let's just also,
and there were no bodies.
Yes, no one was murdered. Everything was fake. It was all of like they tried to set him up. They just faked everything. They set somebody up, right? DPR got set up. We don't know
maybe.
Who was acting as
maybe.
DPR at that time. We don't know.
Yeah, well, it could have been right? Karl Marc Forst talking to himself. I mean, it could.
It was probably Bridges trying to frame Karl Forst.
Can you imagine if that's what it? I mean, maybe someday we'll find out. Wouldn't that just be?
Yeah,
something?
I'd love to know.
It's normal for criminals to fight over the loot, after, you know, during a heist, right? And that's Karl Forst and Bridges, Sean Bridges. Yeah.
And whatever other agents might have been involved that we don't know about, because I just feel like there's more to this story. Why else are they keeping everything encrypted? Why are they, you know, things are sealed still? It's like, you know, they're hiding. Why? If there's nothing to hide, why? You know,
I don't know. I have one more quote from The Guardian in that same article. They said the Force and Bridges affair was to prove a humiliating coda for the government.
Oh, good.
Oh, doesn't that mean it should be over soon? Yeah.
And things keep developing. It's just weird. I mean, then Sean Bridges tried to flee. And of course, you normally don't flee unless you have a lot of money to go to. And there's a lot of money missing unaccounted for that they can't say is Ross and they can't say is Silk Road. It's like millions. And now, I think it is multiple millions that they haven't really accounted for.
Well, wasn't there a part of Ross's sentence that it was also like, oh, and you owe us some money?
Oh, yeah, right? $183 million. Whatever. So, why limit it at that, you know?
Right. So, multiple life sentences, 20 years. And by the way, $183 million. Now, assuming that anything they come across now, any kind of Bitcoin password they can get, they can just justify as being theirs, right? They no longer have to explain why they're taking it. Is that the purpose of that?
I guess. And also, I assume that, you know, Ross will be, you know, how will he ever exist outside of prison? I mean, if you owe the government $183 million. And also, the judge said, if you happen to get out after my sentence, you will never use another computer. You will never. I'm like, wait a minute. Are you queen or are you
yes.
a judge? Or
this is
I'm a little
Judge
confused.
Catherine Forrest you're talking about, right?
Yes, I am.
Okay.
I'm just quoting what she said and my thoughts.
Was that,
I mean,
was that in the sentence or was that just she just
no,
thought she could
started,
say that and it would be applied?
This was part of her whole big grandstanding speech that went on and on and on, twice as long as most appeals, sentencing. But of course, she had all that media in her courtroom.
It's just so hateful.
Hey, you know what, Lynn? During the Liberty Forum presentation, you mentioned like a long weekend. Where
yes.
Lynn, where Judge Forrest had said certain things like on Friday before court adjourned, and then she came back like a different person after this weekend. Could you tell us about that?
Yeah, and actually, I really recommend seeing it. I have a graph that really shows it, and it's on YouTube. But basically, it was part of an interviewing or cross-examining Jared Yagan, who was a witness for the government. And he basically went into how he had another perpetrator in mind. He had 2 years worth of investigation. And she said all that was relevant. And then the following Tuesday, she shut down the defense and wouldn't allow him to pursue that line of questioning. And then for the rest of the trial, he was muzzled pretty much. That's in the appeal.
All right. In the second hour, I want to hear more about that.
In Survivor Max 2, School Bites, Maximus scavenged through a wasteland swarming with the undead. Desperate to find the medicine he needs, he discovers a community of survivors at his former school. Has he finally found the safe haven he's been looking for, or will he discover that school bites? Look for Survivor Max on Facebook, read reviews on Amazon, and read Chapter 1 at SurvivorMax.com.
Trigger Warning. Estos son los Freedom Fiends, transmitiendo desde el cañón iónico de baja órbita del campo de reeducación libertario, en la cima de la plaza financiera bestial, en el satélite artificial Lipper 2017, en la región de Alpha Centauri. So this is the Freedom Fiends, in case you didn't catch that. And it's us, Derek, Slopey, Lynn Ulbricht, which is our special guest, Jim Bab, and me, Hugo Gonzalez from Mexico City. How was everybody?
All right.
Is everybody there? Can you
yes.
feel
we are.
The liberty going through the pipes?
Well, I want to just say I think Derek is a special guest too.
He is.
Well, Derek is resident mad scientist.
Oh, okay.
And Lynn, you are now, I want to just say, Lynn, you are honorary freedom fiend for life.
All right.
So, you can be a freedom fiend anytime you want to be.
All right. That's great.
You already are a fiend.
I'll brag about that to Ross. I already told him about my award.
Let me hear you say worms.
Worms.
Okay, that's cool. There you go. You're a freedom fiend. That's all.
Right.
Is Ross able to get any audio recording?
No.
No.
I mean, he can order music through the commissary, but nothing that we would send.
Mm, that's no. sad.
Does anyone have radio receivers in jail, I wonder?
I don't know. I'll ask him.
I'm not saying that we should start a pirate radio station across the street from the prison, but I'm just saying if it happened, I don't know. You know.
What's the address?
We're just
it's
saying,
on the website.
We're just saying it would work, right? It could
yeah,
go through those walls.
Hypothetically, yeah. So,
looking forward to a follow-up on that, Lynn. That would be a great
The Dread great Pirate question. Radio
Good.
Station.
Eric, we'll continue having our projects. he could get transcripts.
Okay.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
That sounds
That's
good.
That's a thought. Anyway. Yeah.
So we were talking about the new project where you can support Ross
yeah.
Ulbricht in his appeal, and Lynn, who is his mother. She's talking with us right now. And to do that, you can go to freeross.org and look the art project up there in the. There's a button, right, Lynn?
Yeah, it's a big button at the top of the page. Says "Play a game with Ross," and then the trial I saw, which is the title of the artwork.
Okay,
it's all it's a trial through Ross's eyes, and so
you were saying.
And I wasn't sure the attorneys were going to even let us do this, but they thought it was awesome.
Well, whatever we can get into whatever we can do for advancing Ross's cause is good, right?
Definitely.
Yeah, I mean, yeah, we need. It's very, very hard to fight the federal government. Just individuals. We're just individuals in a family. We don't have a lot of money. I mean, we're not destitute. Well, we are getting close to that now. But before this all happened, you know, we were regular people You cannot. That's one of the things the government does. It crushes you financially. And I for instance, and this is for this appeal, we got a bill for over $13,000 just to prepare the books for the. It's the appeal, hardbound copies of the appeal plus digital to present to the court. $13,000 plus, and you know, it's just staggering.
Wow.
It's like a whole other
just for basically
reality,
for printing and formatting,
basically. Binding, I'm kind of like, what do you do? I said to this guy, who's a private person, I imagine he has government clients and everything, but he goes, well, I'm much cheaper than if you had the lawyers do it. And they were like, well, you better do, you know, we have to do it because courts have been known to throw out a case because this wasn't done right.
They don't accept PDF documents. Sorry.
And I'm pretty sure if the government got it wrong, they wouldn't throw it out, right?
Yeah, exactly. Right. There, the whole process is full of landmines for the defendant. But they just, you know, rules are just meant to be, you know, easily avoided for them. They don't care.
They have unlimited money. They just go print more or whatever. And it's like,
yeah, whatever they care.
Yeah. And so how do you, I mean, the pathologist that was countering the government, dragging in this whole thing in the sentencing about the overdoses that aren't even proven to be from Silk Road, that was $9,000. And then there's, you know, it's all these experts. It's not just attorneys, and it's thousands and thousands of dollars.
Right. You spent thousands on witnesses, on expert witnesses, and then they turn around and say, wait, that witness looks like he might help the defense.
Yeah, well,
wrong.
Yeah, they can't take the stand.
Forget it.
No, that's also in the appeal.
It's the opposite of the I think you, It's called the Brady Rule.
That's right.
They operate under the opposite of that, right?
What's that?
Well, yeah. The Brady Rule is very well-established law from the 1960s that says that the prosecution cannot hide evidence favorable to a defendant. Exculpatory evidence. They cannot hide that. It's against the law. And I think that happened.
It went from being banned to being their primary job description.
Kind of. And you know, it's not just us saying it. Apparently, it's an epidemic across the country. The prosecutors do this. And Judge Alex Kaczynski of the Ninth Circuit is most known for coming out and saying, this is really bad. This is a threat to our fair trial system, what's left of it. And
there's nothing left.
Yeah. This is what the teachers used to say about countries that the United States didn't like when I was in school in the 80s. You know, they would make fun of Russian justice and say and things like trials. What has happened in the Ross trial. Right.
Kangaroo courts, yeah.
Yeah, drumhead tribunals.
What they would use to do in the Soviet Union, they would determine first if the person they wanted to convict was guilty or innocent. And, well, it was usually guilty. And then they did a show trial. So... Once upon a time, the U.S. government and everywhere, it wasn't supposed to be that way in the U.S., right? And I'm coming at it from a perspective of living in Latin America for all these years. And it was known that in Latin America, you'd have these kind of, you know, everything from show trials to extrajudicial executions. And that didn't happen in the U.S., right?
Well, you know, that's one of my big things is, you know, I don't feel like I can get up there and, oh, please help me help my son. People don't, like Derek said, he doesn't know Ross. But what's really, and I don't expect that, but really we need to see the bigger picture here. We're losing our, our protections under the Constitution. And once that they're gone, I mean, how can you have a free country really without fair trials?
You can't.
You know, you can't really, because ultimately they get whoever they want.
And that's why I think so many people value you, Lynn, is that you're out there and you're making these connections for people. You know, this isn't just about your son. It's about everybody. It's about the freedom, the future, you know.
Mm-hmm. Well, thanks. Yeah, I mean, it wasn't a huge leap. I was somewhat skeptical of the government or, you know, just like most people, I think, these days. But when I've seen them up close and watched things that happened with Ross's case and trial, I was shocked. Our whole family
was shocked. Very different from sort of the cultural mythology that we're brought up with, right?
Right, very. And you don't think, and I think juries think this, well, the government wouldn't lie. A judge wouldn't, you know, be unfair. And so, you know, people still think that. And although I do think it's changing, I meet people all the time who don't particularly know who I am or anything. And there's a lot of people feeling very uneasy about what's going on right now in terms of our freedoms and our protections.
Yeah. Ross is really lucky to have a mom like you that had that mindset, that your eyes were open and you could, you know, see through the kind of brainwashing that so many people are subjected to in terms of the state is right. And if they say you did something wrong, you did. Mm. I mean, so many people look at things like that and just so fortunate that you were there to step up and just done such an amazing job over the last few years.
It's so true.
How long has it been? Has it been more than two years?
Two and a half. Okay. Two and a half. It'll be two and a half. He's going to turn 32 next month in prison.
I guess when he gets out, are you going to ground him for his possible poor employment choices or?
I think a good spanking is in order. Well, you know, you do kind of reckless things when you're in your mid-20s, and he had this great idea, and he, you know, believed in that kind of free market, and he doesn't have a criminal mind. He really doesn't. So he's kind of easily, you know, the whole thing, you can just see he's an idealist. And right.
Well, that's why he's a threat to them. They, mm-hmm. you know, criminals aren't a threat to the people in power. Because they will say that, yeah, I'm a criminal, I'm a bank robber, I'm a this, like there's no like presumption of morality or anything from these guys. But when somebody says, yeah, I started a website, right?
Mm-hmm. that's where the murder for hire comes in, because you know that took away or tried to, you know, that he's not, you know, this libertarian person who was idealistic and
erode your base. That
yeah,
is a,
exactly.
A, you know, and do you think they would have even tried so hard if there weren't like hundreds of millions of dollars, perhaps of Bitcoin, you know, the, available for stealing? I mean, I got to admit, believe that that was sort of a primary motivation. Like, oh my, we got to get that for us. Like, even the justice, even the Justice Department, like, can look at a couple hundred million dollars and be like, yeah, we could use that. You know,
could tap into that.
Schumer was feeling inferior.
Yeah. Well, you know, at the end of the first hour, we started to talk about that change in Judge Forrest, where there were things discussed, where there was something where the cat was out of the bag on Friday, and then it was shoved back in the bag come Monday. Tell me that again, because it seems so unbelievable.
It is, and it's just very indicative of what happened throughout the trial from that fourth day on. And, she was arguing, actually, with the prosecution, who's, after they got to a certain point in the cross-examination, it was like, we're not going any further with this. This has got to stop now. And he was arguing, and she was kind of going, well, wait a minute, what are you talking about? To the point where, I mean, he was really intense about it, and to the point where there were attorneys behind us laughing. They couldn't believe it.
Right, the prosecutor's all freaking out.
Yeah, because, freaking out is the word.
Yeah,
definitely.
Because she didn't get the memo or something, right? Like, it sounds like, you know, like, weren't you told?
She like, wasn't briefed into the whole strategy, right?
Right, until that weekend. And then it seemed like she got her orders.
You said it. I didn't. There was definitely a 180. It was a 180.
Somebody told her, hey, you know, what is this? Some kind of trying to give some kind of fair trial? No, this is what you're going to say. And she takes orders from somebody. I don't think there's any other way to look at that this dramatic, you know, on these
very
points,
dramatic.
This dramatic turn, and like where they, you know, they, somebody probably told her like, hey, we, you know, if you do that, we might not be able to convict him. Oh, sorry. Okay. You know, we'll not talk about that.
Yeah. And from then on, that's the thing. From then on, the defense was muzzled. And our lawyer, who's been a lawyer, he's a super lawyer, been awarded that and all of that. He said for 30 years he's been practicing, he's never had a cross-examination shackled that way.
Can't put the truth out. We're going to take a trip to the market. Back for more Freedom Fiends.
You're listening to Freedom Fiends. So much truth, it hurts.
Hey, this is Squisgar Squigelts from Death Clocks. And you are listening to the Freedom Fiends on the, you know, the radios. And I guess I says worms now. So there you go.
Tired of those old Freedom Fiends buttons? Well, the Freedom Fiends have new button designs.
As always, it's only $10 for 10 buttons, and you'll get these nifty designs. Buy sheep, for sheep, on sheep.
State speech is hate speech.
Two designs for Guns and Weed, the road to freedom.
Three designs for Fiend Phone.
Pipcot No Gov.
A Freedom Fiends Worms button.
And ask me about my worms.
Go to freedomfiends.com and click on the link at the top that says Buttons.
And now they're bigger buttons.
They used to be 1¼ inch. Now they're 1¾ inch. Dan, they're bigger buttons.
What does freedom mean? Tune in to LRN.FM to find out. LRN.FM is the Liberty Radio Network, a collection of live talk radio and podcasts, all coming from a principled pro-liberty perspective. LRN.FM show hosts aren't left, right, or conspiracy kooks. You can tune in 24/7 to LRN.FM via your phone, computer, satellite, and more. Listen free anytime at LRN.FM. That's LRN.FM.
Meow, meow, meow.
Workworms. Welcome back to the Freedom Fiends. I'm Jim Babb. We got Hugo Gonzalez. We got Derek Slopey, our resident mad scientist, and we've got our newest fiend, Lynn Albrecht. All right, before the break, we were talking right before the break, this flip-flop. There was the big flip-flop And did we cover that, do you think, substantially? We kind of concluded that Lynn was I keep saying that. Sorry, Lynn. Judge Forrest was taking her orders from, you know, who was it? Some senator or some, I don't know, reptilian overlords or whoever it was. She's just a pawn. She's just a tool. And, not a big fan.
But what I can say was there was a huge reversal. And at the end of the reversal, the defense was shackled. Shut down and really incapable of defending Ross effectively, which deprived Ross of his due process rights and his Fifth and Sixth Amendment rights to defend himself. And that's spelled out very eloquently in the appeal. It's very shocking.
I can't see how any reasonable person, I don't care if you hate freedom, if you hate drugs, you hate the dark web, you hate Bitcoin, you hate everybody involved, no reasonable person, I don't think could deny that Ross deserves a new trial there. So,
yeah, fair trials are too important. It's like, and if you read that 170-page appeal, and they would have said they could have put in more, but you know it's limited by the length, and had to get a special motion just for that one. There's a lot of violations.
And you mentioned you're getting some good amicus briefs coming in. Like that's a continuous process, I guess, right?
Well, yeah. I mean, yes. I mean, it's not forever, but yes. And EFF, Electronic Frontier Foundation, I'm very happy to say, has signed on to the amicus brief filed by the National Association of Criminal Defense Lawyers, which addresses the illegal warrants that were used in Ross's laptop and Facebook and Gmail accounts. And EFF has co-written with ACLU a couple of other cases, the same thing. So, and then there's also the sentencing, and that's being, there's an amicus brief from Drug Policy Alliance. It's also being backed up by ex-federal judge, and LEAP, which is Law Enforcement Against Prohibition. And we're hoping for some other people. And, to just say, look, this is outrageous. We stand with them, look at the big picture here. The Fourth Amendment has been trampled in this case. They use general warrants with no particularity at all to seize the laptop and Facebook and Gmail. And if it had been a physical desk or file cabinet, it would have been clearly, unequivocally unconstitutional. And what the government's saying is, well, no, it doesn't count. It's digital. So the Fourth Amendment doesn't protect digital. And we're like, excuse me? I mean, because we don't write it down on a piece of paper?
Notice right here in the Bill of Rights, it says nothing about email. So yeah,
nothing about digital. It's papers. It says papers. So it must be. And this is what they're saying. And that's what I'm saying. This is such important time right now. They're making these laws and all of
and
that.
Interpreting them the way we expect them to interpret them, which is for their ability to prosecute and to extract wealth and to gain power and to limit our ability to defend ourselves. So that was kind of the essence of this appeal. We started out the show mentioning this neat art project on freeross.org. And this is to raise money to make this appeal. It's really a drop in the bucket. I mean, daunting, the challenge ahead. But
it still helps, though. Don't get it.
Yeah.
But no, it is.
I supported this, and I think this project was just kind of a great way to just bring people back to the cause that, because we've been following it now, and there's outrage fatigue in the world. There's so many, there's just so many of these situations to deal with. And anyway, I think it's great that this has brought it back. Derek?
Yeah, instead of me begging all the time, it's nice for me. It's like, hey, let's play a game and have some fun and be creative and help Ross. Because,
Derek,
I hate asking for money. So it's really
Derek,
good
the process, the Derek, what is our progress on there? Like, even this early on, like, we've had some really incredible engagement on that.
In the first week, about a third of the squares are gone. So that was pretty good. And the neat thing is it's really revealed a lot of the specific details in the picture. Not, you still kind of have to squint a little bit and use your imagination to imagine what it's going to be. But there's some stuff in there that it just shows you kind of what Ross is thinking and how he just kind of sees the thing as it's about his trial. And he must have just seen it as a circus. It's really kind of starting to reveal that.
One of the things you can see are like people with masks.
So
yeah.
I'm checking back regularly. Progress.
And the more you contribute, the quicker you're going to see the whole picture.
Yeah.
Get back from the market.
You're listening to the Freedom Fiends, and I'm beaming these words into your cerebellum.
Gun Training with the Non-Aggression Principle, Volume 1. Basic Handgun and Rifle with Jared Waltz.
First rule of being alive is you own yourself.
A groundbreaking approach to firearms and self-defense training. Beautifully filmed and easy to understand instructions make this one a must-have. Gun Training with the Non-Aggression Principle, Volume 1. New DVD from Michael W. Dean, available on Amazon.
Your house is your property.
All right, we're back. All right, we're having a special show here with Lynn Albrecht, Derek Slopey. We got Hugo in Mexico City. I'm Jim Babb. Derek, we were mentioning this email, this warrant that allowed them to just take willy-nilly anything off of Ross's computer, and you had mentioned there might be a problem for somebody else that was having a problem with their computer.
I really don't think that, you know, it's in the end, it's going to be in the Fed's best the politician's best interest to have these kind of warrants, because we're thinking about we're seeing now that Hillary Clinton's computer is now going to be is being investigated. It's going to be seized. And I'm not big on...
Why, does she have Bitcoin to steal? What?
Oh, no, she doesn't probably have any Bitcoin to steal. But, I'm not one for watching news, but I'm just kind of wondering about, you know, what Hillary Clinton would feel if there was a warrant that just let them, you know, rampage through their root through their computer and find anything they wanted.
Yes.
Yeah, just go on a fishing expedition. That's what the Fourth Amendment is designed to prevent. It actually inspired the American Revolution, because the British would invade homes looking for seditious papers or anything else they could find. And so in the Fourth Amendment, they said it has to be particular. And if you want to get something else, you got to go get another warrant. You don't just get one general warrant for anything.
Exactly. And it's not like getting warrants is hard either. You know,
rubber stamp.
Yeah.
If they didn't have these dangerous weapons of mass destruction known as laptops back then.
Yeah.
Right. Yeah. Laptops obviously weren't covered by the Bill of Rights because they didn't exist then.
Yeah. But it's a very important question for the digital age. You know, we're just entering into all of this. And what happens in the courts now is going to impact all of us going
like
forward.
Like screenshots as evidence? Seriously?
Absolutely.
Like,
and chats? Like that can't be doctored.
I mean, come on. You know,
it puts us all in danger, doesn't it?
Yeah, we're supposed to presume that when the prosecution presents a screenshot or a chat log or some other kind of easily manipulated digital media, we're supposed to assume based on their extraordinary moral fortitude that this is going to be truthful. But yet it's presented by people that are also going to jail. Wait a minute. Yeah. Maybe we shouldn't consider this evidence as evidence. And it's nothing more than a collection of pixels handed in, presented as evidence by lying, thieving scumbags. So
it's like the death.
Rant. How's that?
It's like the death thralls of the state. You know, trying to continue to control us. You know, now we've got the internet and we can talk to each other without permission, and we can send each other value without permission. We can trade without permission with people all over the world. And this, if it is the case that the state just doesn't like that,
no,
you know, and that they're trying to just stop it. If we could just stop it. If we could just take Ross and just give him this draconian sentence and just scare people off. But it's a myth. I mean, there's no stopping human progress.
Right. It's like they're these dinosaurs that have like glanced up as the comet is like entering the atmosphere, going,
We'll just roar really loud at this comet. Maybe it'll go away.
Yeah, we're gonna scream and thrash about here.
I'm gonna go hide in these tar pits while it passes.
If
Edward Snowden said last week, he said, you know, I wasn't going to come back here if I wasn't guaranteed a free trial, if they were just going to nail my scalp to the wall as an example to other people. And nice. I thought that's exactly what they're doing with Ross.
Yeah, the crowd shouted that out, I believe, Lynn.
Oh, they did? Oh,
yeah. So, yeah, we're talking about now Ed Snowden's presentation at Liberty Forum, which I know you guys saw. Hugo, did you get a chance to see that?
Not yet. Actually, I didn't hear the leaked audio, but I'm hoping I'm going to see the official video.
Yeah, that's out there. That's already out.
So. Okay.
There's two versions out there now. Yeah.
No. Oh,
okay, so he's probably worried about the same things, that the same thing would happen to him if he were to face trial.
He asked for two things. He said, you know what, I would consider coming back and facing trial if, number one, government, you promise not to torture me, and two, if you allow me to use a public interest defense and let the jury decide.
Just to correct you, he said, can I get a fair trial? And they said the only thing they would agree to is they wouldn't torture him. They said
yes. Right. They said yes to that part.
He got a letter promising that he wouldn't be tortured.
They wouldn't be tortured. Of course, that's what is your definition of that.
Yeah. We should all have one of those in our pocket, right? Just when they're about to torture, you'd be like, no, look, it's in my left pocket, the letter that says you're not allowed to. Ah!
Well, that one could easily be manufactured, you know? We just print up a big BIPCOT license to not be tortured.
The BIPCOT no torture license.
Yeah, we can do that.
Ross got to ask Edward a question, right, Lynn? And it was
Nick Gillespie did, but it was inspired by a question with Ross.
Nick Gillespie kind of mangled the delivery. What was the question that he was supposed to ask?
Well, no, he didn't. But the basic bottom line was, do you think that the NSC could have been behind or involved in the Silk Road investigation?
Oh,
and
yeah.
Snowden said yes. Yes. Yeah. And in fact, you'd be naive to think they weren't. I think he said.
Presumably in an illegal way, or at least a way that they would want to make public. Yeah.
Well, for them to be involved in an investigation of an American citizen is illegal, isn't it?
I
don't know what's legal.
The right
and what
phrase
isn't.
Was.
Because I understand it. Everything that I do is illegal, and nothing that they do is illegal.
Right.
Yeah. Right.
Probably the right thing to say was, "You think?"
No, you know what? Ed Snowden has put himself in the position where he can just say yes.
he did elaborate. He did elaborate. So that was
He's built up some credibility for himself.
Yeah, I thought it was a really good interview.
I think the whole case with Ross is he's the canary in the coal mine, and so it's just the other way around. As the government is trying to make this work, they want to scare everybody. It's just the other way around. Everybody's realizing that this could happen to anybody, any citizen.
Exactly.
This will not make people afraid. It will embolden people to move forward.
Well, it depends on the people.
Well, yeah, there's brave people out wanting to do things, wanting to create websites anew, and they're not stopping. There's all the evidence for that.
Right. And they're finding new, more creative ways to do it where it doesn't fall on one guy. I mean, you know, like Open Bazaar, there's some other projects I've seen. Actually, one of the first In the first few days of the art project, people were putting words and stuff in. And when you buy squares, you can also put your name in and you can put a comment and whatnot. And somebody used the art project to advertise their open source distributed marketplace. It was Drop Zone. You can still kind of see it just a little bit.
Oh, okay. That's what Drop Zone is. I was wondering what that was. Cool.
If you mouse over it, the guy put in the comment a link to his, and it wasn't a clickable link, but it was the URL of his GitHub repository where he had some decentralized marketplace code, which I can't speak to it. I don't know if it's any good. I haven't looked at it,
is out of the bag.
Yes.
The concept of a decentralized marketplace that's inaccessible to authority figures is reality, and there's no going back.
So. That's not a cat. It's a tiger. It's big.
Well,
this makes me think of their pursuit of Satoshi Nakamoto, because every time there's the slightest clue that somebody could be Satoshi Nakamoto, they all all excited about putting somebody in jail.
A SWAT raid is generated. House. Yeah.
Yeah. Even if it's in Australia or anywhere else, we've seen that, you know, Satoshi Nakamoto is a man that's probably being caught the most times in history.
Yeah. Or woman, we don't know.
Yeah,
don't,
or the know, group or of people.
Group of people, right.
Yeah.
I just didn't know it was illegal to invent Bitcoin. I mean, I didn't know that.
You never know in advance.
I think it's now required to get a permit for something before you invent it.
We're willing right. to give that.
You at least have to incorporate. You may
first,
not
they have, first they evaluate right. the threat to the establishment. Then they'll decide if it's legal or not.
Yeah. Mm. You're for an inventor's permit.
Yeah, well, again, you know, we're kind of at a crossroads here in history. And, you know, we can move towards more government control, and they're trying their hardest that's the way it's going to go. Or we can move towards more freedom, innovation, which allows innovation, you know. It's really kind of a tension about what's going to happen.
Organizations only behave in such, you know, blatantly corrupt ways when they're terrified. And I think that this is an example of that.
Yeah, they used to cover their tracks better, and now they don't even have time for that. They're just like, yeah, we're taking it all, and we're going to hurt anybody that gets in our way.
Yeah. It's about power.
No, go ahead. No.
It's about you know, undermining their power. You know, and of course, you know, the myth is that, you know, the country was, or I won't say the myth, but the story goes that you know, the country was made to make power balanced. And that, you know, people would be able to usurp the or challenge the government's power and vice versa to keep things balanced.
Well, that's what they said in the sales brochure.
Yes, that's the bill of goods that they tried to sell me, for sure.
But we do. I mean, I feel like we do still have. Well, I don't know, but I think the constitutional protections are still worth fighting for, because once we don't have those at all, you know, it's really dire. And that's why, in this case, you know, I feel like, does anyone disagree with me that fair trials are important? I mean, hello? Like you say, even if you hate Ross or, you know, all of it, that's not the point.
Probably even if you're the government, that's the whole point, that they're showing a lot of fear right now, because fair trials or the appearance of thereof is very important for the government. Otherwise, how are they going to maintain some semblance of legitimacy over the population? And people are starting to realize after these really dramatic cases that there is no such thing.
Mm-hmm. Right, especially look at the Netflix series Making a Murderer. I didn't watch the whole thing, but I was intrigued by the fact that, like, here is a, I would call it a pop culture, like, widely accessible, you know, docudrama. I don't know exactly. It's somewhere between a documentary and entertainment. But it's showing that the justice system is not what you learned on Perry Mason. You know, we've gotten pretty far from that. So that's it.
Yeah, I really, I saw the first one, and I just, those poor parents, I was so related to them. I'm like, oh, and the poor guy. I just was awful. Yeah, it was very eye-opening. No, I mean, not for me so much, but because I've already been through it. But
yeah, but
I think for a lot of people,
the fact that those things are being produced, those fiction works are being produced is an indicator. People are starting to realize they no longer drink the Kool-Aid.
But it's becoming more divided too, I think, because there's the other side of it too.
Mm-hmm. We'll be back.
Listening to Freedom Fiends with Michael Dean and some of his weird friends. And yes, we're broadcasting this into space.
When you shop online, please do it through the Freedom Fiends Amazon link over on the right side of freedomfiends.com. It won't cost you any extra, and the fiends will get a little taste from Amazon, and Amazon will save you the danger of drive-by stabbings at your local mall. Amazon sells pretty much everything you can buy on this earth, except for guns and weed. But they do sell the DVD Guns and Weed, The Road to Freedom. So get that for your gun-hating stoner brother or neocon gun nut dad. They'll thank you for it. That's freedomfiends.com. Freedom, Foxtrot, Echo, November, Sierra.com.
Woof, woof. Freedom Fiends. We are back for our final segment. Redemption in the third act. And during the break, Lynn just gave me a little bit of good news. I think I'm going to interpret this as good news, is that the head prosecutor Sarin? Sarin?
Sarin Turner.
Not Sarin Gas. Sarin. Okay. Anyway, he has left the case, right? He's either been promoted for his ruthlessness, or he's perhaps a rat fleeing a sinking ship. Which is it?
Are you asking me?
Yeah. No, you don't have. Well, you can.
Oh, I don't know.
We can only speculate here. But first, would you agree that it's good news that this monster has moved on to harass somebody else?
Well, I'll never have to see him again, and that's good news to me.
Yeah, I accept that. We're going to take each win as a win.
Yeah, really.
It would be my instinct that, you know, certainly people that were involved in the case got rewarded somehow on the state and prosecutor side. Is the judge still in the same position that she was during the case?
Well, the appeal repeatedly says we want a retrial with a different judge. We right. want this evaluated with a different judge over and over again. So hopefully I will never have to see her again either.
Yeah, I was just kind of wondering if she had gotten a promotion or something. Maybe it's too soon for
she's not. That would be the appellate court. I don't know. Not that I know of.
Ask the lawyer to request a judge that's not on the direct payroll of the banking cartel. Is that? Can you ask? Like, can we get one of those not on the payroll of the banks judges? You know, if you can find one.
What country?
You know what? Bring in Judge Judy. Okay, so, like, if you have to.
I'm sure you could follow the trail and still end up at the same place.
Yeah,
I read somewhere that the judge was left some high paying position to be able to judge this case. Is that true? I read it somewhere before.
The Silk Road case?
Yeah.
The only thing I know about her is that she was recommended by Chuck Schumer for her position. And Preet Bharara, who was the head of the whole Southern District, was Chuck Schumer's special counsel for many years. So, and of course, Chuck Schumer is the politician who called for the closing of Silk Road. And somehow, strangely, even though Ross was arrested in California, he ended up in Chuck Schumer's state. So
no separation of powers there.
These are facts. These are not. I'm not drawing.
Yeah.
And let me just. I don't know if we should say, you know, definitively that Chuck Schumer is a shill for the banking cartel. Am I allowed to say that?
You are.
All right. All right. He's a shill for the banking cartel. Scumbag.
I always want to point out.
Come at me, bro.
I want to point out these guys are saying this. I'm not.
Yeah.
Okay.
I thought we could say whatever we wanted in this country.
You can. Oh, well, you can. But.
Right.
Yeah.
They're saying it.
Judge Forrest. Judge Forrest has a whole team of people that go out and read like comments on Facebook and like Reason Magazine and stuff. Remember that?
And,
didn't she get all
suddenly subpoena? Grand jury subpoenas are issued. To track down those commenters and potentially put them in prison.
She got her feelings hurt. Somebody didn't like her.
Yeah, and we're not calling for violence here like some of those people did.
Not.
That's why we're covering ourselves. And
right.
We don't want to get... you. Please don't,
did anyway.
Please don't come for us.
Yeah,
right. I mean, if Schumer was a shill for the banking cartel, we're not saying that's a bad thing. We don't say that to demean him.
Well, yeah, we're not saying it like... You're saying it like it's a bad thing.
It's a speculation.
We don't even own wood chippers, okay, Fed? So just seriously, just don't even go down that road, okay?
Yeah. We're city dwelling
folk. One of the comments was there's a special place in hell for this judge. That's a threat? Please. That's a little bit sensitive. It's such an attack on the First Amendment and freedom of speech. It was pretty shocking, really.
I have an idea for a safe space for Judge Catherine Forrest. If she's where she needs, it could be a nice padded cell somewhere where she won't have to see any mean-spirited comments on blogs.
Did anything happen to the person that said that? I think that too much.
There were three. But I think that it got dropped finally. But at one point, at one point, Nick Gillespie said, would you at least drop the one about a special place in hell? Or Reason did. No, we're not dropping that one. We're not dropping any of them. We're going after this. But then I think they got so much bad publicity. It really is unbelievable that I think it got dropped.
It's like they didn't even think about that in advance.
When you get so powerful, I don't know, maybe you think you can just do anything. I don't know. That's just I don't know.
Well, they did not anticipate you, Lynn Albrecht. That's the wild card in this. That it's going to, I know,
thank
generate
you.
Victory in the end.
Thank you, Lynn, for coming on
oh,
the Fiends
and
talking to everybody.
Fun.
Thanks for everything you do, Lynn.
Remember going to freeross.org. You can buy t-shirts there. There's a store, and there's...
And packed by me.
Worms.